7, Ezekiel chapter number 37, and give you a thought that God has been dealing with me over the, the past maybe month or so, and finally God turned it into a message this week, and so we're just gonna follow the Lord. If you're in Ezekiel 37, we'll let you stand one more time if you want to as we read the Word of God together, and we'll read the first several verses and leave your Bible open as we try to develop a thought, okay? Ezekiel 37 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Boy, can I pause for a minute and say I like it when God starts asking questions like that. I like it when God looks over a valley of dead, dry bones and says, "I wonder if these bones can live again." And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter in unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied, and I was as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking of the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Wherefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, my people, I will open your graves, and will cause you to come out from your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." Father, help us for a few minutes, we pray. God, use us for a few minutes, we ask. We beg for your presence in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. I love Ezekiel chapter number 37. In this passage of Scripture, God gives an encouragement as well as a blessing to the nation of Israel. I preached last Sunday morning from the book of Ezekiel as well, chapter 33. And I told you last Sunday, I'll remind you again, that the early portion of the book of Ezekiel, God repeatedly sends the nation of Israel warnings and messages of judgment. Their rebellion has already brought them into the land of Babylon, but their still continuing rebellion is costing them day by day. And it will continue to cost them if they're not willing to repent. However, the latter portion of the book of Ezekiel is drastically different than the early portion. In the early portion, Ezekiel is warned of judgment that is still coming. But in the end of the book of Ezekiel, they are promised a blessing that is on the way. Ezekiel says something like this: "You're suffering right now, but it won't always be this way. You're displaced right now, but it won't always be this way. You're hurting right now, but it won't always be this way. Because God is not done, and God has a plan, and God is not finished. And God is saying, I have a purpose, and I have a plan, and I have a blessing still reserved for you." In this chapter, God takes the prophet out to a battlefield, and there he shows him a great valley full of bones. These were the slain of Israel. They picture the nation right as it is right now. They were broken and they were beaten and they were buried. They were left for dead. They were nothing but a valley of dry bones. And God takes the prophet to this valley and he looks over this valley of bones and he asks this question, can these bones live again? If I remember correctly, about this time last year, just a few weeks before revival, I preached a message entitled, Can Dry Bones Live Again? And I'm glad last year we found out that they could. Amen. Boy, didn't God show up last year during revival. For 3 weeks, God poured out His presence upon us here at this church. Boy, we saw people get saved. We saw people drive in from other states to get right with God. We saw the Holy Ghost move day by day and night by night. And God proved to us that dead bones could live again. Amen. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Boy, I began to think these past few weeks about the meeting that we had last year. And I thought about the time that we spent fellowshipping with the Lord and the time we spent fellowshipping with each other. In fact, I'll be honest with you, probably one of my favorite weeks of revival was that second week when we went to each other's homes and we just prayed together and loved on each other and just fellowshiped with each other. And we just got together in cottage prayer meetings and said, God, here we are, would you bless us? And He did, and wasn't it sweet? Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, God was so good to us last year. But that was a year ago. And without trying to put a damper on this service, can I say some things have changed since then? Some things have happened since then. That was a year ago. But here we are coming upon another August and another revival. And I began to think over the past few weeks, as we begin to move toward this revival, how things have changed. I would have liked for us just to have shouted from last August to this August, but it didn't happen that way. We shed some tears and we cried a little bit. And I thought, oh, how is this revival going to be? This weekend, I got the opportunity to go to a camp meeting. Brother Dean McNeese was moderating Thursday night. I walked up on the platform and he grabbed me and hugged my neck. And this is what he said. He said, preacher, wasn't God good to us last summer? I said, yeah, Brother Dean, God was awful good last summer. He said, look at me, boy. He said, what God did last year, He can do it again this year. He said, God can move on us again and God can breathe on us again. Hey, I'm telling you, over the last few weeks, I've wanted to preach this message. And God finally is going to let me do it this morning. And I want to preach this thought this morning. God has three words for dry bones. God has three words for dry bones. This morning I want us to consider this text. If you read this text, you'll discover that three times God says to the prophet Ezekiel, speak the word of the Lord. And three times the prophet does. Once he speaks to the bones, once he speaks to the wind, once he speaks to the people. But God had three words for these dry bones. And I want to preach this morning on this thought, three words for dry bones. I want to show you three things by way of introduction. I'll give them to you as quick as I can, then I'll give you my thought, okay? I want you to see this by way of introduction. I want you to see the condition of these bones. I want you to see the condition of these bones. Verse 1 says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Notice that the Bible describes these as bones. God does not describe them as the former men of Israel. God does not call them by name. Although there's little doubt that God knew every one of their names. God simply refers to them as bones. In fact, not only does He call them bones, but He calls them dry bones, the Scriptures say. Hey, that tells me two things. It tells me this. It tells me that at one time, this was a group of people that had life, but they no longer had life. These were people that used to be filled with life, and they used to be filled with love, and they used to be filled with laughter. But now they have been reduced to the place where there's no life left in them. Would you agree with me this morning, neighbor, that when somebody is reduced to bones, that person is, they're pretty well dead, are they not? Hey, they used to have life, but they don't have life any longer. I'll be honest with you. Hey, not only were they dead, but the Bible said they were dry. That means they were dead for some time now. Hey, I could say it this way. They were twice dead. They'd been dead for a long time. The birds of the air had already picked what was left off of their bones, and the bones had baked in the sun for a long time. They were dead and they were dry, and they had been like that for a long time. Amen. I'll be honest with you. We're ministering to a group of people today in our churches that are dead. Hey, they are dead, friend. They are dead. They used to be filled with life, and they used to be filled with love, and they used to be filled with laughter. But this morning, they have no life, and they feel dead inside, and they feel dry inside. And if they were honest with you, they'd say it'd been like that for a long time. And where life used to be inside of them, there's only bones this morning. Dry bones, dead bones. They don't have that life they used to have. Hey boy, I tell you what, there are people sitting among us that they do not want you to know it. But if you could look inside of their soul, they would be dead, dead, dead this morning. Well, I thought as I began to type this message out the other day, I'll be honest with you, I am counseling right now more people than I've ever counseled in my life. There are people all around us. There are people everywhere you turn that are struggling, and they are hurting, and they are going through it like they've never gone through it. And the devil and the world and hell is against them, and they used to be so full of life. But this morning, they feel dead on the inside. I see the condition of these bones. They were dry bones. Not only I see the condition, by way of introduction, number two, I see the cause. I see the cause in our text. Think about something for me for a moment. God tells Ezekiel that these are dead, dry bones. But he also lets us know what put them in this position they're in. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 said, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding a great army." Do you see it in verse 10? These were the slain of the armies of Israel. Therefore, this is not an ordinary field that we're in. This is a battlefield. And I began to think about these bones laying in this battlefield, and what it was that caused them to be in the position that they were in. If I could say it this way, they were in the position they were in because there was a skirmish in their life. Hey, there was a skirmish in their life. This wasn't a field, this was a battlefield, and these were the bones of soldiers. That means they were in this valley because they had been through a fight. They were in the condition that they were in because there was a fight in their life. And there are many people that feel like they have been through a fight in their life recently. And this fight they feel has left them for dead. The devil and the world and the cares of life have fought them tooth and nail. Every morning they wake up and it's a fight. And they try to eat lunch, but they got a fight to do it. And they try to sleep at night, but they got a fight to close their eyes. And they toss and they turn and they fight on their bed sheet. Hey, they're fighting. They're in a skirmish. And where life used to be, there's just a fight this morning. They feel like the fight has left them dead. Hey, not only do I think they're here because of a skirmish, but they're here because some suffering took place. If there was a fight and there was casualties, that meant somebody went through some suffering, does it not? Now, maybe y'all can help me out right here. I've never been stabbed with a sword, but I'm just going to venture a guess. Getting stabbed with a sword probably hurts. Amen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to suggest it to you. It probably hurts to get stabbed. These bones had suffered before they died. Some of them were in a fight and it took their life. Some of them went through suffering. They probably laid there and wallowed in their own blood and suffered for a while before they died. And suffering brought them to a place of death. Boy, I thought about old Job. Job, when he went through his time of suffering, he was a great man, a perfect man, a patriarch man. But when he went through his time of suffering, he said, I wish I'd have never been born. I wish I was just dead. I wish the day was never spoken. There's a man child conceived. He said, I wish I was dead. Hey, some suffering had brought him to the place in his life. He felt like he was a dead man, full of dead man's bones. Watch me now. Watch me now. The cause, they were in a skirmish. They'd gone through some suffering. See this, please. They were where they were because of someone else. Think about this with me. If these people died in battle, then that means they died at the hand of someone else. They did not fall on their own swords. That is not why this valley is full of dead bones. Someone else did this to them, and they are dead in this valley because of something that they went through, and somebody else hurt them. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you, neighbor. There are people going through things this morning. Some of them they've done to themselves, but some of it's just been done to them. And they are fighting, and they feel like that they are dead because somebody hurt them, somebody wounded them, somebody turned the sword of their tongue against them, and they are dying inside because somebody else turned on them. Amen. They are where they are because there was a skirmish. There was suffering. Somebody did this to them, but they were where they were because they were soldiers of the king. Now think about this one more time. These were not just soldiers. These were the soldiers of Israel. These were the men that marched under the banner of the king of Israel. They were on this battlefield because the king of Israel said be on this battlefield. They were dead as a result of obedience to the king of Israel. He said go fight, and they went and fought, and it cost them some things. Allow me to say that there are some that are dead because they have been wounded in the service of the king. Just because you're working for the Lord does not mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory and your life's going to be a smooth road. There have been times when I've been trucking along, minding my own business, trying to serve God, and somebody come out of nowhere and wound me. Amen. There have been times that you feel like you're only doing right, but you're just so tired because you've been doing right. Because the more it seems like you do right, the more hell comes up against you. And you got to fight all that off, and all you're trying to do is live right. You say, oh, surely suffering doesn't come upon people that are trying to do right. Well, if you don't believe me, why don't you go ask Moses? Moses was just trying to follow God and the leadership of God. But he finally had to go to God one day and say, really, God, these people are too much for me. They're a bunch of complainers. They're a bunch of whiners. They don't like anything I do. They always got something negative to say. God, would you kill me? I can't handle this anymore. Hey, if you don't believe me, ask Elijah. Elijah went and hid in that cave because he thought he was the only one left serving God. And he was running for his life because the king and queen wanted to kill him for no other reason than he was a God-called preacher. Hey, go ask Jeremiah. They threw him in a pit because of his message. Go ask John the Baptist. They cut his head off because he was a preacher. Go ask Jesus. They crucified him. And he never did anything wrong. He only did right. But because he did right, they hated him for it. I see the condition. I see the cause. Last of all, by way of introduction, and I've got a short message. Don't worry. I see the call. I see the call. This brings me to my thought this morning. Here are a bunch of dead, dry bones. All the life has been taken for them. They have been picked clean. They've been laying in the hot sun. Any life they had left is long gone. It is a terrible sight. But in the midst of this terrible sight, God clears His voice. And he says, son of man, can these bones live again? There seems like there are no hope for these bones. It seems like all hope is long gone. But God still has a plan. God had a plan for them. And can I say to somebody this morning, on the authority of the Word of God, God had a plan for them. And God has a plan for you.
Amen. Amen.
I see three words to dry bones. God says, can these bones live again? And then He speaks three times. Here's the three words God said to them. These are the three words God's saying to you. Number one, God speaks a word of restoration. God speaks a word of restoration. Verse 4, and again He said to me, prophesying to these bones, and saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When God asked the prophet if these bones can live again, the prophet says something like this, thou knowest. You know what Ezekiel was saying? Ezekiel was saying, God, it doesn't seem possible to me, but you're the only one that really knows. Maybe he said this, God, you're the only one that knows whether they can live again or not. To everybody else, the situation looked beyond repair. But when God speaks a word of restoration, he's able to bring the bones back together again. When everyone else thought the situation was hopeless, God still had a word. And when God has a word, God has a plan, and God can do more with one word than we can do with 100 words. And when God speaks a word of restoration, bones start getting on bones, and skin starts covering up skin. Hey, and God brings life where death used to be. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again. Oh, but I know a man who can. And I can't take a soul that's sin sick and wash it white as the snow. But I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the waters or calm the troubled sea. But I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open. And I can't make the lame to walk again. But I know a man who can. And I can't help you. And I can't fix you. I would if I could, but I can't. And I can't make life come into you again. But I know somebody who can. I know a man who's able to speak words of restoration. And he's able to make life come where death used to reign. He's able to bring restoration to your life. You may be here this morning and your life seems broken without repair. It may seem like this church will never be blessed like this church used to be blessed. We'll never have revival like we used to have revival. But God is able to take those broken pieces and God is able to put them back together again. You say, all I've got left, preacher, is just the broken pieces of my life. Hey, can I give you a suggestion? Pick up those broken pieces. Carry him to the throne room of the king and just lay him down there and say, God, this is all I've got left. I'm nothing but a broken mess. And you'll find out that God will take a broken mess. He'll take what you got and he can put it back together again. Amen. He may not do everything you want him to do, how you want him to do it, when you want him to do it. But God is able. I thought about old Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha thought their world had crumbled apart, hadn't they? In John chapter 11, their brother Lazarus had died. And they thought this is what they thought, Brother Scott. In fact, both of them testified to it when Jesus finally showed up 4 days late. He comes into Bethany and this is what they said. They said, if you'd been here 4 days ago, this never would have happened. You know what they were saying? They were saying, we've got the faith to believe that you can fix the situation, Jesus, before it goes bad. And that's good faith, isn't it? Hey, man, I believe he can fix it before it goes bad. But you know what they found out that day? They found out that Jesus can not only fix a situation before it goes bad, but they found out that he's able to fix a situation after it's done gone bad. And he's able to fix a situation when there's nothing but death left. And when they thought all hope was lost and 4 days had gone by, Jesus said, I've got good news. I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. He that though he liveth is dead, yet shall he live again. And you think all hope is gone because there's death. But I've got good news. I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And I'm able to bring life back to this dead situation. He speaks a word of reconciliation. Number two, he speaks a word of regeneration. He speaks a word of regeneration. Verse number 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, here's the second word of the Lord. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Notice what happens in our text. Through the word of God, these bones, these broken pieces are put back together. But according to verse number 8, they still have no breath in them. Now, we know that God breathed life into Adam in the Garden of Eden. We know that, right? And God breathes physical life. God gives us life and He takes life. But not only does God breathe physical life, and this is what I think we're supposed to see in the text, God breathes spiritual life. You remember when Jesus was standing there after His resurrection in John chapter 20, verse 22, and He met with His disciples in that closed upper room? And the Bible says, and when He had said this, He breathed on them. And this is what He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And He breathed on them, and spiritual life came inside of them. Yeah. Hey, think about this. You say, well, how do you know it's spiritual life? Notice where the breath comes from. He said, oh, wind, breathe upon them. Hey, you remember what He told Nicodemus in John 3:8? He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whether it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, He said to the wind or to the Holy Ghost, breathe on them. And the Holy Ghost come down and breathed on them and gave them spiritual life again. You see, these dead bones represented the deadness of Israel. They were not dead physically. They were dead spiritually. These Jews were dead spiritually. The spiritual life had left them long ago. But God was promising that He was still willing to breathe on them and give them spiritual life again if they wanted it. Hey, they were hearing from God. God was saying, I've got some spiritual life left for you.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Everybody listen to me, please. When was the last time you felt the Holy Ghost moving in your spirit? When was the last time tears dripped off your cheeks because you could not contain the joy of the Lord? I'm afraid for many of us, it's been too long. Far too long.
Amen.
In fact, there might be somebody here this morning and you're thinking within yourself, I don't even know when the last time was. I told you this weekend I had the opportunity to go down to Ringgold, Georgia for a camp meeting. Thursday night service was good. Friday morning service was good. Friday night we rolled in underneath that tabernacle. Been raining all day, nasty outside. And Brother Dean started moderating the service and people started praying and they started singing. And I started hearing the Holy Ghost speak to me. God was telling me that I needed to pray about some things in my own life. And you've got to picture this with me, please. This tabernacle is larger than this building. It's probably, I don't know, maybe twice as long and wider than this building. It's open air. There's no sides on it. And on both sides, there's nothing but fields and hay bales. And the preacher told us early in the week, he said, those aren't hay bales out there, they're pray bales. And we use them this week for altars. They'd have signs stuck in the middle of those hay bales with Bible verses about prayer. And I thought about going to the altar, and it seemed like God said, no, go to one of those hay bales. And I said, all right, I'll go. And God said, you get just as far away as you can. You go the last one out in that field. And so I walked by myself that night to one of those prayer bales. And I bowed on my knees and started calling out on God. And I started praying. And at first, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know what I was praying about. And then God started revealing some things in my heart that I did not know was there. And I started asking God to help me with them and give me strength through them and forgive me over some things and clean some things out and just help me. And then I began to pray and I began to ask God for Him. And I began to say, God, I've wanted this and I've wanted this, but God, I just want You. And I began to weep and cry and to beg God just for Him. That's all I needed was Him. And I said, God, I just want You. And I don't know how long I was out there praying, but when I made it back, they had started singing under that tabernacle. And I'll be honest with you, it got on underneath there. And I shouted like I've never shouted before. And I cried like I've never cried before. And for 2 hours straight, I shouted and screamed and cried. And I hadn't realized that it had been that long since I'd experienced that breath from heaven. But I'm saying God has still got some breath left in Him. And He's willing to breathe on me. And He's willing to breathe on you. And He's willing to breathe on us if we'll just ask Him to. I would venture to guess that most people sitting here haven't been blessed in a long time. I know the preacher hadn't. But this morning God has a word. And this is God's word. I wrote this down in my notes. I felt like God at the motel wanted me to put this down. God wants you to know something this morning. God wants you to know that the devil's a liar.
That's right.
The devil has told you that you will never feel God's presence again. Amen. And that is a lie.
Amen.
The devil has told you that things can't be in your life like they used to be in your life. And that is a lie. Amen. God still has life and God still has breath. I see a word of regeneration. He regenerated them, gave them life in their soul. But I'm done with this. Number three, God has a word of rewarding. God has a word of rewarding. Verse 12, wherefore prophesy and say, this is the third time He has asked Ezekiel to prophesy. Thus saith the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, wait a minute. I know what you're thinking right here. You're thinking the rapture. I know what you're thinking. But He's talking about spiritual deadness here. He's bringing them out of their spiritual graves, spiritual deadness. And He's going to restore them to the land of Israel. He's going to bring them back home. They've been in Babylon. I'm going to bring you home. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord. I've spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. That's what God says to a dead, dry nation. God says, I'm going to bring you out of your spiritual deadness. I'm going to put my life inside of you, and I'm going to bring you to your land. Now, what was their land? It was the land of Israel, right?
Amen.
What was the land of Israel? It was the what kind of land? Promised land. Amen? Is it not? Is that not what He told Joshua? I'll take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what He told Moses. That's what He told Joshua. It was the blessed land. It was the blessing land. It was the land of promise and God's blessings. So what He's saying is this. I'm going to bring you out of your spiritual deadness. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to breathe my wind into you again. You're going to feel the Holy Ghost one more time. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you. Y'all ain't helping me out none. He said, I'm going to bless you. Could it be that God is wanting to say to us this morning that He not only wants to give us life, but He wants to pour out His blessings again? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God wants to bless you. And in the midst of the valley of dry bones, individually, you may have been thinking, God can never bless me again. But God has a word for you. God's able to give you life and give you breath and bless you one more time. Amen. Listen to me, Northside. God has a word for Northside Baptist Church. Are you ready? God's word is, I want to bless you again.
Amen.
God can send blessings again. Amen. I'm not sure where you stand this morning, but I wonder how many need that wind to blow on their soul one more time. I believe God did it yesterday, and God can do it again today.
Amen.
Notice this. God never, now don't miss this. God never spoke to anybody other than Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied of the bones. And he told Ezekiel what to say. Ezekiel prophesied of the wind. And he told him what to say. Ezekiel prophesied of the people and he told him what to say. You may be sitting in your pew and you may be thinking, well, if God speaks to me, if I feel Him speaking to me, then maybe I'll go pray, or maybe one day later I'll pray whenever I feel it again. God has spoken to the preacher, not because I'm anything, neighbor, because I'm nothing, but God has told me what to tell you. God said you can live again.
Amen.
And I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe somebody wants to come down to this altar and cry out for the wind to blow again. Oh, wind, blow. Blow on my spirit again. God, bring life. Bring life to my spirit again. Many people are coming. I'll be honest, if you'd get on this altar, spend enough time with God, you might find out what this preacher found out, that you need the wind more than you realize you need the wind. You needed life more than you realize you needed life. I don't know, do dead bones even realize they're dead bones? You may not even realize it. These altars are full. They ought to be filled to capacity.